Transmitting sound. Download complete. Now launching audio stream. It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
We have an incredible show for you this week. First off, we welcome four-time Grammy Award-winning group, Boyz II Men, who talk about their amazing career, which now spans over 20 years. We also speak with avid gamer Leah Jewer about video games for women and what cool new games are on the way this year for all sorts of gaming tastes. We then round things out with fashion designer Diane Crow about how to pull off fashionable summer wedding attire that can last beyond that one special occasion.
Capture your need for sound.
It is a great pleasure to welcome an amazing group that has sold over 60 million albums, and they have four Grammy Awards to boot. Boyz II Men to the Kelly Alexander Show. Thank you guys for being here.
Oh, this is a great time.
Great to be here, yes, Kelly. Yes, yes.
So you guys have been together for over 20 years. When you look back at two decades, can you believe you've been together this long?
Honestly, we could not have forecasted this type of, you know, success and this type of longevity. We only, you know, were three guys or four guys at the time, you know, wanting to sing and make music together, you know what I mean? Going down to, you know, South Street and singing to try to get girls and stuff like that, you know. So it wasn't really something that we thought would be a career or anything like that. But, you know, now that it has become one, we're happy to be here.
When you look back as well and remember when Michael Bivins signed you guys, and I remember you guys did a performance at the Grammy Awards with Color Me Bad at the time back in the early 90s. And it was such an amazing performance, and you guys all seem so jacked to be there. Do you still feel that way when you're up on stage at an award show like that?
Yeah, it still feels the same. Obviously, we've been doing this for a while, so the butterflies don't come as much as they used to, but the excitement is still very much there because in those award shows is the cream of the crop. It's all of the music industry's elite and all the people that we've listened to, some of them that we've admired and looked up to. So you want to do well on that stage because there's so many people watching, not just there, but on TV. So we try our best to give our best, and it's always an exciting time. I mean, with the TV and the lights, the cameras, the action, all that good stuff, we get caught up into it just like everybody else. So, yeah, it's a good feeling.
Now, you guys have so many hit songs. I know if I say End of the Road, that, you know, is what everyone mentions. I'll Make Love to You, On Bended Knee. So many of these songs mean so much to your fans. Are they your most important things to perform for you guys, or is it other songs in your catalog that bring out the best in you?
Well, there's a lot of songs, I mean, that I guess you say are in the recognized catalog, but then there's a lot of songs that we've done that people don't really know about. So, I mean, you know, we tend to get more excited about the ones that people don't know about, I guess because we don't perform them that often. But, you know, all of our songs are kind of like our children, so we have a, you know, certain attachment to them regardless. But at the end of the day, I mean, we love performing pretty much every song that we do. It's just a matter of, you know, what occasion we're doing it for.
Now, take a look again at all the stuff that you've done. You've been on the Grammy Awards. You've been at Soul Train Music Awards. Is there certain moments that stick out to you that you're like, wow, I can't believe I got to do that?
I think that one of the main things that we look at sometimes and we can't believe we did is actually, it's numerous amount of things. Yeah, I mean, we sang for the Pope, you know. We did the Bill Clinton's inaugural closing ceremonies at the Olympics. We performed at the Super Bowl. You know, we've done all the things that successful artists do. And, you know, probably one of the first of our era, or only of our era to have done it. So it's like, you know, we look at it, everything, and we feel very blessed. We feel incredibly blessed because, again, this was not, you know, in our cards. Being entertainers was, but successful entertainers has never been in our cards, but it was in God's card. So here we are.
When you get to this level of success and maintain it for over, you know, 20 years, and then you look at other acts that haven't made it, like Color Me Bad, they're not together anymore. What does it feel like to know that you guys have stood through the test of time? Is it hard work that got you here?
We feel fortunate. I think the biggest thing was collectively we were smart enough to understand that we're better to survive at this together than apart. So with that, and just the natural respect for each other and understanding that we're not going to find this type of nucleus anywhere else. We're not going to find this type of experience anywhere. This is something that was special to all of us and something that we could only do with each other, and we've only been able to do with each other. So I think that was all of those things, and not to mention the fans still enjoyed listening to us, watching us, seeing us on stage and hearing our music. So it was a little bit of everything. It was not just for us, but for the supporters that we've had for so many years that still wanted to see us around. So it was a lot to motivate us to stay together.
Now the latest album, 20, I guess, to celebrate obviously your 20 years doing this, and you have a bunch of new songs and then also re-recorded classics. What was it like with regards to the new songs to work with Babyface again and then work with Tim and Bob and these producers that are bringing, I guess, a bit of a new sound, even though it's still you guys?
It was great. I mean, it was something that we were hoping we could do when we first started the project. We weren't really sure, you know, how a lot of the older producers would react to what we were trying to do, I guess, kind of recreating the nostalgia that we've had throughout the years. And, you know, when they all agreed right away to jump on board, it was a beautiful thing. It made the process go a lot quicker and a lot smoother because of our familiarity with all the producers that we worked with. And it was a great project to do. I mean, it was extremely easy. It was a lot of fun. And we think we came out with some pretty great songs.
And when you re-recorded those classic songs, stuff that you've worked on with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis and Babyface and Teddy Riley, was it fun? Like, was it like slipping on a comfortable pair of shoes to go and visit those songs again in a recording studio?
Well, definitely. It was very comfortable simply because, like Nate said, we had worked with those producers before. It was just one of those things that the nostalgia behind it all is what drove it. I mean, just having Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis in the studio and being able to re-record on Bended Knee and they reproduce it and, you know, see what we can actually add a little bit different just so people can feel like, oh, this is new. Babyface, of course, you know, the nucleus that we have with him is just outrageous. I mean, he allows us to be us and we allow him to be him. Tim and Bob, man, you know, the vibe that we share. I mean, we started the whole 2 album together. You know, it was just all of us in the studio just creating a sound, a vibe that people can get into. So it was just the nostalgia behind it. And it was almost like we did that, you know, the 2 album, and then went right back in the studio and started doing this 20 album because of the relationship that we have. You know, looking in these brothers' faces, you still see the same sentiment behind their production and the same sentiment behind what we have to offer to their music. It's just like, you know, it's something that you can't coach that.
And you've worked with so many amazing artists. I know everyone thinks of off the top Mariah Carey, obviously your song that you did with her, and now lately Charlie Wilson. Yeah. Is there anyone left that you would love to work with?
Yeah. Collectively, we all say Prince. That is, if he's still willing to work with us. Prince is somewhat of he's an enigma. So, you know, you don't know what what he might be thinking from day to day, but it would be nice to get into the studio and see what we come up with. Just somebody that we've all admired very, very much. And I mean, and also we were big fans of a sextet called Take Six, a gospel group that I think that because we see them around a lot and they're still working, they're still out there doing their thing, it'd be really nice to be able to somehow get into the studio and do some acapella stuff with them. So that'd be cool. Just to name a few, the ones on the top of my head right now. But there's a lot of artists that we respect, that we love, and hopefully get a chance to work with one day. But those are the two that kind of stick out.
Social media for Boyz II Men, how important is that? Because I know for new artists starting up, it's key to get their name out there and get going. And you guys obviously have been around for a long time. Is it important to be on the Facebook and the Twitter connecting with your fans?
It's changed the industry. It's the reason why the industry is the way it is. It started with Napster and that whole thing, and that whole internet wave basically altered how we listen to music and how we communicate with our fans and how our fans communicate with us. So this is the way to respond and correspond with all those supporters and people who want to get to know us, people who may not know that we're still around and things of that nature. The website, the Twitter pages, the Facebook pages, and all of those things that have huge tentacles and that can get to so many people so much faster than even a record label could. That it's great, and it's been very, very important for Boyz II Men throughout the years. With BoyzToMen.com, the Boyz II Men Twitter page, the Boyz II Men Facebook page, and all individual pages, it just allows us to basically do and say things without a filter. We're able to do it, and we're in our app that you can download on iTunes and on your iPhone or your Droid. It just allows us to stay in contact, and for them to stay in contact with us, and we're able to change, and we're able to get things out to our fans in real time, and that's the beautiful thing about it.
Now, I have seen your fans out front waiting for you guys tonight, and they are a mixture. You've got, you can just see sort of true R&B fans. You've got couples out there that looks like they're out on a date night. What does it mean to you to still see these people coming to you after 20 years?
It's great. I mean, it's what we live for. I mean, we wouldn't want to be doing this 20 years by ourselves, so the fact that they come out and listen is the nucleus of why we do it. Like Juan said earlier, obviously we had no idea that it would last this long, and now that it has, we just enjoy the time that we take. Every day is a blessing for us, and the fact that our fans come not just in America but around the world is a beautiful thing.
You guys have been on the road for so long. What's the best part of being on the road? Is it seeing your fans?
I think seeing the fans is definitely the best part of being on the road. A lot of people don't know we all, have things that we do. We have families and things like that, and, some have more than others. So a lot of times on the road, it's kind of like our getaway, our time to free our minds and get into something that, that recreational that we know that we can do and do well. And, make people happy at the same time. It's very important to share the energy of love and share the energy of music and the harmonies and the inflections, the vocal inflections with our fans, and just see how much we can actually touch their hearts and make them fall in love all over again.
And what's up next for Boyz II Men? I know you still have the tour to continue. Do we have another 20 years of Boyz II Men?
Oh, for sure. And we're actually already planning to come back here in April. So we're looking forward to coming back and doing the whole continent for the most part, not just Montreal.
Fantastic. Guys, thank you so much for your time today.
No problem. Thank you very much.
What's happening? This is Nate.
This is Sean.
This is Wanye.
We're Boyz II Men.
And you're listening to the Kelly Alexander Show. Yes.
It's driving me insane, and I know I just need one more chance to prove my love to you. If you come back to me, I'll guarantee that I'll never let you go.
Can we go back to the days that love was strong? Can you tell me
one of the hottest or most talked about pastimes is gaming. A lot of us don't even really know what it means, except that it most likely involves some sort of video game experience and often involves a lot of the male persuasion. However, there are a lot of girls that are getting into the scene as well. To help catch us up to date on what we should know so we understand what everyone is talking about is web consultant for The Kelly Alexander Show and an avid gamer herself, Leah Jewer. Leah, welcome to the broadcast side of things here on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Very happy to have you. And I wanted to ask you, I'm intrigued by this, I don't know what you call it, hobby, pastime, obsession, not sure, but how did you get into gaming?
It all started when I was a child. My brother was given for his birthday a Nintendo Entertainment System, and luckily it has two controllers, so I got to play two, and that kind of spurred me on to enjoy this obsession of mine in the game industry.
So it's been like several years now that this has been something you've been, you know, passionate about.
Oh, yes, very much so.
Now, do you find it difficult as a female to be taken seriously in the world of gaming?
I think that's changed a lot in the past few years. Gaming started as a male-dominated pastime, but with all the different options of video games that you can play out there and all the different genres, it's definitely easier now for girls to find something that they would be interested in. Not saying that they wouldn't be interested in a shooter or RPG, but there are other options out there that could be more female-oriented.
Can you talk about some of those options? Because I really always just thought it was mainly like shooting stuff or, you know, some sort of puzzle or adventure game where you have to figure out where you're going, like hidden treasure or something.
Well, there's lots of different options. A good genre is more of the, I guess you'd consider them casual games. They're mini games of a sort. Nintendo's very good at creating these type of games, especially for the Wii and the new console that's coming out now later this year, the Wii U, which are like little micro mini games where you have a very specific task. It's not necessarily hitting buttons like you would traditionally do, and because of the nature of the Wii controller, you actually move and interact and move your body in order to play the game. There's also options like Just Dance, created by Ubisoft, where you actually get up and dance with the music just like you would at a club. So you follow along with the character on screen, dance, have a good time, get some exercise, and start playing a video game. So you don't really have to be sitting on your couch mashing some buttons.
And I've wanted to ask you as well, with regards to gaming, I know now because of the net, you're not just gaming by yourself. You can actually be taking on people across the planet. Is that still true?
Oh, totally. You can be online playing with people in Japan, Russia, anything. And any type of game, you could be doing it through not just something like a traditional console like Nintendo or the PlayStation. You'd be doing it on a portable device like the Nintendo DS, the PlayStation Vita. You'd be doing it on your iPhone. You'd be doing it through Facebook. So there's so many different options that you could be playing a game and playing against people across the world.
And I actually just wanted to mention this. I have a good friend of mine from high school who met her husband online.
That's amazing.
And she actually moved to the States to be with him because they got, you know, they met online gaming with each other. I don't know what the game was or whatever, but they sort of fell in love that way, online gaming. And she's been down in the States for at least 8 or 10 years now. So you can have a happy ending in the gaming situation.
Good for her.
So, and speaking of, you know, a lady who gets into gaming and stuff, what happens if you are a woman who is not into gaming, but you've started, you know, maybe dating a guy or another woman, whatever, who is into gaming? Should you just give it a whirl? Because I think a lot of females are sometimes trepidatious about getting into the world of electronics and gaming and such things.
I can see that. It can be a little intimidating at first, especially when you see your boyfriend or girlfriend sitting on the couch, you know, playing Modern Warfare, and it's so intense. But you can go together and pick out something that'd be a little less involved. There's games. Nintendo, I keep coming back to Nintendo because their system is so intuitive for people who are not used to playing video games, because you don't have to be sitting on the couch with it and just mashing buttons. You can be up and interacting. And their game scenarios that they've set up, such as Mario Party, where you go and it's like playing a traditional board game. So you already have a concept of how everything runs through turn-based. You get little mini games where you could do anything from pretend to be throwing a ball to shaking the remote. And it's, you get to have an enjoyable experience together instead of just being that sole person sitting in front of the TV.
When it comes to children and gaming, I know, and not even just children, I think, you know, this goes for all ages. I know sometimes gaming gets a bad rap where it's like, oh, you know, they were playing this violent video game and this is why they got into a fight with Billy at school. Do you subscribe to any of that?
No, I think it's just like the movie industry. As long as a parent is well aware of what the kid is playing, all the games have ratings on them, just like the movie system does. So if you know that your kid walks in the door with something with a 18-plus rating on it, and they're 12 years old, they probably shouldn't be playing that game. As long as the parent is well aware of what's going on in their household, it shouldn't be a problem. And gaming's a great way for kids to get a handle on doing problem solving, on spatial body movement, hand-eye coordination. There's so many things that a kid can learn, and just dealing with others if you're playing a game with somebody else to show respect and teamwork. So it's a great way to get that little different than your normal traditional going outside playing a sport or in classroom.
Talking about the parents again, it's important for them to really be involved and understand, just like they would, I suppose, like let's say their kid was into hockey or whatever. You know, they're not just going to go let their kid go play hockey and not know that, you know, they need to make sure they're warming up properly, they've got a good coach, they need the proper equipment. It's the same thing with this. They can't just let the kid go willy-nilly and, like you said, be playing games that are above their level and maybe too mature.
Yes, exactly. They just got to be aware and put a limit on it. You are spending your time sitting in front of a television or a computer screen. So let them know that there's limits to it. It's not real life, and that they should go out and have some fun at the same time. I know me, I'm a huge sports fan. I play soccer and hockey. So, you know, it's not all video games all the time. It's a good balance there.
Joining us on the show is web consultant and avid gamer herself, Leah Jewer. Make sure to follow her on Twitter at Leah Jewer. You can also check out her blogging Girls on Games at shome.com. Now, can you talk to us about the phenomenon known as E3? I had never heard of this until you told me about it a couple of weeks ago.
So E3 stands for Electronic Entertainment Expo. It's pretty much the be-all, end-all event each year for video gaming. All the big wigs, Nintendo, Xbox, PlayStation, and all the developers go to this big conference, show off their games. It's where most of the news comes out for the year. Now, this past year, just passed, it was from the 7th to the 9th of June, and we got to see lots of different information from the big three, Nintendo, PlayStation, and Xbox, everything from a new console that is coming out this year called the Wii U from Nintendo, PlayStation talking more about their portable device, the PlayStation Vita, all the games that are coming out, Xbox talking about the Kinect and having voice interaction. So there's lots of different things going on, lots of things to be excited about as a gamer, be you a hardcore gamer like myself, or more casual gamer who's someone who just plays on the side time to time.
I still miss Super Mario Brothers. I just want to put that out there.
Well, you will be happy if you decide to buy a Wii U, because they actually just announced that there's going to be a Super Mario Bros. For the Wii U specifically, using the new touch controller that they have that kind of looks like, I hate to say it, but looks like an iPad with remotes on the side, and you can play with your friend Mario Brothers just like back in the day with better graphics.
Wow.
It's going to be really good.
Fantastic, because I still miss that game. I swear to God, if my Nintendo system was still working from back in the day, I would be playing that all the time, because I think that's my speed. So speaking of Nintendo, is that their big news? Is this Wii U?
Yes, it is. Pretty much, it was announced last year, and now it's just a follow-up, because they're supposed to release it the end of the year. No release date has come out yet, though people are rumoring November, and no prices come out yet, but they're really, really putting the push on to show people the technology and how it works, because now it's not just an add-on to the Wii that we already have. It's a new console along with a new controller that looks like an iPad with remotes on the sides. So they're really trying to show that through their game lineup and through the technology itself, and really pushing that.
And what was the core news coming from Xbox?
Xbox had mostly games. They also announced a really interesting system called Smart Glass. Now, while Nintendo has created its own controller, Xbox decided that it wanted to take what you already had, devices, your phone, a tablet device, and create a system so that you can use that as a controller and to interact with the game at the same time. So they're going to work and create a download for Android systems so that you can download and use your normal phone or your tablet and interact with the game at the same time. Then they also talked about, they've got all the EA games, football, interacting, actually talking through your Kinect to interact and give your team the the plays. This is pretty neat. And then they also talk about all these other new games coming out, Halo 4, Tomb Raider, Black Ops 2, Gears of War, Judgment. So many games for both the hardcore and the casual gamer as well.
Speaking of Halo, again, I don't really know anything about gaming, but I've known that Halo is always a thing. Is that still always a thing now?
Yes, it's pretty big. I mean, it's Xbox claim to fame is Halo. It's only on Xbox. It's pretty much the reason why people bought the Xbox 360 when it came out. And now that they're coming out with the 4th edition, I watched the trailer for that live as it was streaming from LA, and the graphics just blow your mind, and the interaction is just amazing. It's going to be a good, good shooter to play. And, of course, it's super popular because you can play with folks online. So that's where you'll be getting that connection with folks around the world and playing with your friends.
Now, PlayStation, again, I know in the last couple of years everyone has been super pumped about them. So what's going on with them?
Well, PlayStation is sticking with its console. It's supposed to be on a 10-year plan for the PlayStation. It's on year 6, so they're really pushing into the games right now. The cool thing about PlayStation is they've got some really, really good developers that create games just for them. One of them in particular that they announced that day is called Beyond Two Souls. And Beyond Two Souls actually stars Ellen Page, a Canadian actress. And she plays a character that is dealing with what life is like after death. Now, they're not too much was shown. It was kind of like a sizzle reel teaser thing. It was creepy. It was good. You know, you totally could tell it was Ellen and her acting, working the scene. But it still looks like quite an interesting game. Like, untapped venue for video games, like the whole post-death and what happens to your soul after you die and things like that. So it should be a pretty interesting game. After Beyond Two Souls, PlayStation also talked about a game that they're coming out for both PlayStation, the platform, PlayStation 3, and PlayStation Vita, their portable platform, called PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale. Now, what this is where they've taken all the most famous PlayStation characters and put them together in a game. You get to be each of these characters and battle it out with your friends. So it'll be very exciting to see all these different characters. They announced that Nathan Drake from Uncharted is coming. They also are bringing Big Daddy from BioShock. So it should be a really sweet game for you to be able to play with your friends and online.
Now, can you explain to me again, because I am not an avid gamer, seriously, if I'm still talking about Super Mario Brothers. So is there a game that goes across all three platforms that would be on Nintendo, Xbox, and PlayStation, or is that a dumb question?
No, that is a perfect question, because there are games that do that. One of my favorite ones that I'm really excited about is called Assassin's Creed, and the 3rd edition of Assassin's Creed is coming out, and that's going to be across all three platforms, and they even announced that there is a version of it, Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation, coming out for the PlayStation Vita as well. So that's a game where you can play as the main character, Connor, and you're set in back in Civil War times as an assassin. You even get to see George Washington in this. It's pretty cool. And you get to play as a naval officer on a boat. I've never seen that before in a video game. So this game will be on Wii U, PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and you're going to be able to play a similar version on the PlayStation Vita. So there's a choice for you no matter what system you take. It's just you got to be particular about certain games because you know that they're only going to come out on one system.
Now, you seriously know your stuff. This is without a question. So I know it's your own opinion on this, but can you tell us what your favorite system is?
Oh, PlayStation 3 by far.
Okay. And can you tell us why?
Yes. Mostly just the technology that came out for it and the games that are created for it. I have to admit, I am not the biggest shooter fan, so Halo, you know, not always my favorite thing to play. And I love adventure games. I love games with a good story, and it seems that PlayStation really, really knows how to pick those and to pick the developers for those. Uncharted by Naughty Dog, amazing story, amazing character development. Assassin's Creed has awesome story development behind it as well. There's also games like Infamous and Infamous 2. They really, really know how to get down to the nitty-gritty of that, of character development and storytelling, and that's really important to me.
You know what? You're going to laugh. I just have to tell you this, because again, I am a Super Mario Brothers freak. The only other thing that I've enjoyed in recent years is my brother has a Wii, and he got some game. I think I might have bought it for him actually for his birthday, and I think it's called Big Game Hunt or something.
bought that for my father for Christmas.
So yeah, so me and your dad should hang out because I enjoyed chasing down the elephant. So.
Did you play with the actual gun? Some of these games do come with peripherals.
Yes, I actually brought my brother a gun.
So we spent our Christmas morning me hooking it up to the PlayStation, being like, don't worry, Dad, you're actually going to get to shoot the big buck, and setting it up and him playing. So it's definitely a different world from what the traditional stereotype is just a guy sitting alone in his basement playing a video game against buddies and just shooting. There's so many different experiences that are offered now. It's quite unbelievable.
And would you say, you know, speaking of your dad and you know, I'm doing it, and, you know, would you say that there is a game for everyone? Like, you know, someone, you know, who is a dad, or someone who is, you know, maybe retired, or a woman who, you know, is would just like something to do, maybe not, you know, watching TV every night?
Most definitely. There's something for everybody out there in the game industry because there's so many different options. If you like Sudoku, you can play Sudoku on a Nintendo DS or 3DS. If you like shooters, you can go down that realm. You could pick up Modern Warfare. Ghost Recon Future Soldier just came out from Ubisoft. You can go and play an RPG. You can do something fantastical like the Final Fantasy series, do something with magic. There's even, though I'm kind of iffy about it, is the Wonder Book Book of Spells. It's coming out of PlayStation. That's also connected with Harry Potter. There's a series even there. Almost all movies, especially superhero movies, come out with a game that's attached. So you like Spider-Man? There's a Spider-Man game coming out with a new movie. It's endless, the amount of possibilities of different types of games that you could play. So there's definitely something for everybody.
Now, I want to pull you back to E3 for a second. Mm-hmm. What was the biggest disappointment or flop of E3? Because there has to have been something.
Although I already just kind of mentioned it, the biggest disappointment for me happened during the PlayStation 3 conference. It was on this huge high talking about all these new games, and then all of a sudden they announced Wonder Book, which is to work with the PlayStation Move. PlayStation Move is essentially a wand-like movable controller like you have from Wii U, and it also has a camera. And what happens is the camera picks up the book that you have on the floor or on the table and puts it on the screen, but then on the screen it looks like there are almost like a pop-up book happening out of the book. So you're in the picture, the book's in the picture, you're interacting with the things on the book, though they're not actually on the book. What they decided to do in order to get this Wonder Book going and get it promoted is to team up with J.K. Rowling and the folks at the Harry Potter series. And they created Wonder Book Book of Spells, which is essentially supposed to be teaching you spell casting and things through the book. Now, sounds like a great idea. I'm a huge Harry Potter fan, and at first glance, it looks super exciting, but when they demoed it, it kind of broke.
<Uh-oh>.
It wasn't interacting very well. Now, I don't know if it's because they're in this big arena and they're trying to show it off and maybe there's interference or things like that, but it didn't actually show it very well. There's one instance where they kept having to replay the action over and over again, and it kind of just put a lull in the conference that was going super well. So that was pretty much my big disappointment. Another thing that I super wasn't happy with is the fact that they never really talked about the price or the release date for the Wii U. We already knew from last year that this thing was coming out. We just didn't know when. And now that they've teased all the games and now that they've really shown it, I want to know when I can get my hands on it so that I can start counting down the days till I'm going to buy one.
Nice.
I'll be in line, ready to pick one up. So I really like to know that. I was kind of disappointed they didn't have that at E3. But beyond that, this E3 was really good.
And what are you looking, you know, forward to following E3 news? Like, do you have something on the horizon that you're ready to go get?
Assassin's Creed 3. I love Assassin's Creed. Super big fan of that. I'm really excited about Last of Us as well. And there's also a new game called Watch Dogs coming out from Ubisoft. Pretend you live in a world where everything in a city is controlled by one computer, but you have control of that one computer. So you can wreak havoc on the entire city. You can control the light on the street. You can control cell phones. You can control TV screens, anything at all. And you're fighting a bad guy and you have all this arsenal to you. So that looks really interesting. And just, of the moment right now and the kind of the stuff that we're dealing with the internet, and of course my fascination with online experiences and websites and things like that is really, really interesting to me. So I'm really looking forward to that one.
Now, I have to ask you again, we have a lot of people that listen that have kids, and I know we talked a little bit about gaming for kids, but what would be your big piece of advice for parents, again, that have kids that want to get into gaming?
I would say, once again, make sure that you're monitoring them, that you know what games they're playing. If they're asking questions, especially, why can I not play this game, to maybe do a little research yourself. For example, Assassin's Creed, probably not the best one to have a child play because it's pretty darn violent. Hey, you're an assassin. It's kind of expected. So as long as a kid comes up to you, even as a teenager, and is like, hey, I would really like to get Modern Warfare. I'd really like to get Assassin's Creed or something like that. Go check out the trailer. See what the rating is. And if you're comfortable with letting them play, then go right ahead. If not, tell them why or why not. So it's just being conscious of what's going on around you and what your kid's being exposed to.
Now, if people want to read, you know, more of your thoughts on gaming, you know, we have you doing a blog for Girls on Games at Shelm.com. What do you talk about?
We talk about pretty much anything that interests myself and my co-blogger, Catherine. Whatever peaks are fancy and coming out of news in video games. And it could be anything from games that are new, geek culture, interesting things that are happening on the internet, big stories that are happening surrounding game releases, anything that really tickles our fancy, and anything new coming up.
Fantastic. So people can check that out again at Shelm.com, Girls on Games.
Exactly. That's where we can be found.
You rock, sister. Thank you so much for your great advice. I really think it's going to help, you know, a lot of people, especially if they're parents or, you know, ladies wanting to get into the scene.
Glad to be here today. Thank you very much for having me.
Fantastic. That is consultant to the Kelly Alexander Show, web consultant, as well as avid gamer, Leah Jewer. You can check her out on Twitter at Leah Jewer and again at Shelm.com for Girls on Games.
Capture your need for sound.
Rodney King, the black motorist whose videotaped beating by Los Angeles police sparked riots in 1992, has died at the age of 47. Police say they were called to his home and found King at the bottom of a swimming pool.
In Washington, D.C. today, a federal jury found baseball great Roger Clemens not guilty of all charges in a perjury and obstruction case brought after prosecutors said he lied to Congress about using steroids.
Mike Tyson is taking his one-man show to Broadway.
Oh, man, thank you for coming out tonight, guys.
The former boxer has teamed up with director Spike Lee, and the pair are bringing his show, Mike Tyson Undisputed Truth, to Broadway next month. But it'll be a very limited engagement, from July 31st through August 5th. The show is said to be a raw confessional on the highs and lows of his life. It made its debut in April at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas and did well enough for the Broadway push.
A tabloid photographer in New York City claims he was punched by actor Alec Baldwin, who in turn claims the photographer almost hit him in the face with his camera. Photos of the reported incident between Marcus Santos and Baldwin are on the New York Daily News website, and Baldwin tweeted his side of it, adding with a hashtag, "All paparazzi should be waterboarded."
KellyAlexanderShow.com.
The poofy sleeves, the ill-fitting bodices, the gaudy colors. I'm sure we've all been to a wedding and wondered what on earth the bride was thinking when she chose her bridesmaid dresses. Luckily, bridesmaid attire has come a long way in recent years, but we still see the odd eyesore coming down the aisle. Here to help us understand what makes a smart and stylish fashion decision for those friends of the bride is award-winning fashion designer and stylist Diane Crow. Diane, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hi, Kelly. Thank you for having me.
Diane, if we could start off by, I guess, talking about what are some of the key elements that a smart summer bridesmaid dress should have?
Well, one of my one thing I do always recommend is choose a wear-again style. And that means like a style that you would actually wear again out for dinner, perhaps as a guest to another wedding. That way you will really get your money's worth out of your bridesmaid's dress, and you won't feel like you've spent without having something that you can use again. And then as far as summer looks, I would say shorter lengths and flowy fabrics are always nice for the summertime.
And I think something that ends up being a hotly debated topic is, you know, should bridesmaid dresses match?
I don't necessarily think that is very important. I think they should look like they belong together or tell a story. For example, if they were all in the same color or same fabric, but perhaps with different necklines and different cuts, that would be ideal because everybody has a different body type. So it's always important to always consider everyone's different shape and style. Yeah, and I also just felt like if they don't go with the same colors, then they should use colors from the same color palette, such as maybe oranges and yellows and so on, or blues and turquoises.
And I think that, you know, it's evident to a lot of people that certain styles flatter certain body types. But is there like a classic go-to style that brides can be sure are going to fit, you know, both their pear-shaped and their top-heavy friends?
Yes, there is a design that's out on the market. It's called an infinity dress, or it could be called a convertible dress also. There's many different versions of it. And it's a dress that can be worn many different ways. Each girl can adjust it to her own body type. It can be worn with sleeves. It can be worn strapless, halter style, and so on. And that's called a convertible dress or an infinity dress.
Diane, if we've tried all kinds of gentle persuasion and our bride friend is still convinced that, you know, that oversized bow and hot pink is the way to go, what can we do? Is there any way to salvage, you know, that bad bridesmaid's dress?
Well, I would suggest if it's really important to have big bows and so on the actual dress, it's sometimes nice to have them detachable so that the bridesmaid can actually easily remove it, like as if it were on a sash or somehow pinned onto the item. But if it's already sewn on and it's permanent, sometimes you can take it to a seamstress and they can help you recreate the dress if you give them, you know, some ideas of what you would like, and if it's within reasonable options with the design.
Joining us on the show is award-winning fashion designer and stylist Diane Crowe. Make sure to check out her website, dianecrowe.com, and that's K-R-O-E. What are some of the hottest trends that people should be on the lookout for in bridesmaids' dresses for the 2012 season?
Well, I'm finding that overlay, I'm seeing a lot of that where there would be like two fabrics involved, one as a solid and then the other fabric laying over, which would be like a lace or a mesh fabric. That's a trend that I see quite a bit right now. Where also lace overlays are really pretty with satin sashes, and I'm seeing bubble dresses and bubble skirts, and that would be like sort of hemlines that are unique and different, and also embellishments on the hemlines. I'm seeing quite a bit of that too.
And with regards to trends, should a bride get caught up in that, meaning like, you know, this is 2012, it should be this, or is there always, you know, some kind of classic middle of the road thing they could be doing not to be too trendy?
Yeah, I always say don't go too trendy because it will date your picture. So you don't want to have to pull out your picture 10 years from now and be looking at some sort of odd-looking dress. Or, for example, right now the one-shoulder dresses are quite popular, but in 10 years from now they'll be quite passé. So I would stick with nice classic cuts, a nice scoop neckline or a shift dress is always a good choice. Something that doesn't tend to be too trendy and would be more of a classic design.
And I suppose it matters where you are in the world, but are there better fabrics for summer wedding attire depending on where you are?
Yes. I would say if you're traveling, go with a nice lightweight jersey fabric, something that doesn't wrinkle, that's easy care, that will just come out of a suitcase without a problem. You don't have to worry about steaming. And if the wedding is close to home, then I would go with something, a nice lightweight chiffon. Nice silk chiffons are beautiful. Something flowy. Those are usually beautiful fabrics for the summertime.
How important are accessories, you know, for the bridesmaid's dress? Like, is this where you can maybe, you know, pull yourself apart or set yourself apart from the group a little bit without it being too obtuse?
Well, I'm always a less is more kind of girl. Like, I prefer minimal accessories. I just find that the bride needs to shine, and I think if the girls are all very sparkly, it sort of takes away from the bride. But as far as accessories, perhaps maybe just a nice simple bracelet or necklace would be nice, or like a simple earring. But I wouldn't get too caught up in very flashy jewelry at all.
And, you know, footwear, I know that that's always a bone of contention because, you know, you're in these dresses for X amount of hours and you got pictures to take and all that sort of stuff. And in your opinion, Diane, is it okay once pictures are over and you're sort of into the reception, depending on how your gown fits you, would it be okay to change into better footwear for the evening?
Yes, I think that would be fine. There are these great little slippers that are out on the market that just fit into your purse. And I think that once all the photos are over and so on, it would be nice to put on a little pair of ballet flats, just because at the end of the day, when all the work is done, the girls want to have a good time. And I'm sure the high heel shoes will be pretty uncomfortable after a long day.
And for those of us who are going to be attending, you know, a summer wedding, can we enjoy, and we get to enjoy the luxury of choosing our own outfit, what should we be keeping in mind attending summer weddings this year?
Well, I think, again, you want to choose a design that you could wear again. I always find that that's really important because you really want to have a deeper purchase. You don't want to buy just for the only for the one-day event. And I would stick to classic colors like red, black, fuchsia, turquoises, colors that tend to not be too dated. And then always choose designs that flatter your assets and camouflage your faults. That's always the secret.
Is there a secret to finding a style that is modern and youthful but age-appropriate? Because there's always one. There's always someone at the wedding that looks ridiculous.
Always. Well, again, it's back to, like, focus on your assets. Like, if you have great legs, then show them off. But if you need to hide your tummy, then pick a dress that's appropriate that would have ruching through the waistline and so on. If you have fuller hips or a fuller bust line, it's always nice to draw attention to your face by having a nice off-shoulder or soft-shouldered dress and wear a beautiful piece of jewelry to bring the eye up to your face and so on.
Now, you have an award-winning travel collection. For those of us who are going to be traveling for weddings this summer, what kind of dresses should we pack?
Well, I always recommend my reversible resort dress. It's always been very popular for people traveling to weddings. The reason being is there's usually a dinner before the wedding, and then there's a brunch after the wedding. Especially for destination weddings, people tend to do quite a few different things throughout the time they're at the destination. So the resort dress is like a printed sundress on one side, and then it's a little black cocktail dress on the other. And then it can also be worn as a skirt, too. So you can get lots of different looks from it, but yet just have one garment. So you just need to bring a few accessories with you and a bathing suit.
And where can people actually get a hold of your collections?
That would be on my website at dianecrowe.com. And I have a detailed, each design is detailed on the website, and you can see all the different looks from each style.
And I guess what would be your major or your main piece of advice for brides and bridesmaids, you know, as they go about trying to figure out what they're going to wear and how they're going to be as a unit?
Well, you know, I always found when I had my retail store, I did a lot of wedding parties, and there's always one girl who doesn't like the dress. It just seems, you know, it's inevitable. I would go back to the infinity dress or convertible dresses, because that way each girl can wear it a way that suits her body type the best. The dresses all look nice together, even though everyone will have it on in a different way. And that's my recommendation, is just, you know, pick a dress that can be worn, have a few different looks so that everybody's happy.
Fantastic. Well, Diane, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome.
That was award-winning fashion designer and stylist Diane Crowe. Again, make sure to check out her website, dianecrowe.com, and that's K-R-O-E.
Bring on the remix. Remix. We'll be right back.
That is Katy Perry with Wide Awake, the Jump Smokers extended mix on The Kelly Alexander Show. Well, I want to extend a very big thank you to my guests this week, including the amazing guys from Boys to Men, also Leah Jewer and Diane Crow. Now, as per usual, I want to leave you with your inspirational quote of the week, this time from Napoleon Hill. Victory is always possible for the person who refuses to stop fighting. There you go. Have a great week. Don't forget to check out our Twitter account, K Alexander Show, also our Facebook page, Kelly Alexander Show, and again, the website, www.kellyalexandershow.com. Have a great week. You and I'll chat soon.